go rebuild my church, which as you can see is falling into ruins. These are the words spoken to St. Francis of Assisi from an image of Christ on the crucifix at San Damiano in 1205 AD. These same words inspired Peter Doan, the host of the program you're about to hear. Peter challenges all of us to rebuild not the brick and mortars of our church buildings, but our personal faith and relationships that will rebuild and strengthen the church. Now here's today's program.
Hi, I'm Peter Doan.
And I'm Leslie Doan.
And you're listening to the radio broadcast, Go Rebuild My Church. In this broadcast, we explore ways to put into practice the words spoken to St. Francis of Assisi by our Lord Jesus and how this theme is relevant as we seek to bring renewal to the church today.
Our passion for renewal was ignited when we came home to the Catholic Church 14 years ago, and that's when we heard the call to rebuild and joined efforts with many other renewal movements within the church.
You can learn more about our journey home and our lay apostolate dedicated to renewal in the Catholic Church by visiting our website at www.catholicdiscipleshipministries.org.
Our prayer is through the ministry of this radio program and our lay apostolate, we can provide pathways for you to join the rebuilding process and experience renewal.
Now, we want to welcome our listeners joining us for the first time today. In our broadcast, we look at the sacred scripture, excerpts from the catechism, the lives of the saints, and the teaching of the church as we seek to challenge individuals, families, and local parishes to rebuild and renew the Catholic faith here in America. And Leslie, I think we'll be looking at all of those resources today.
Well, today we're going to continue our series, Rebuilding a Missional Church. And Peter and I have shared what we believe is a critical truth about the Lord's purposes for his people. We looked at some Old Testament scriptures regarding this, and his heart is both to build and rebuild his church here on the earth. So in essence, he's a builder and a rebuilder. And he's calling us to join him as we move from maintenance to mission in the church. So let's quickly recap for our listeners what we've covered so far.
Amen. So we've established that rebuilding a missional church begins not with events or programs or guest speakers, although these things can be helpful tools. Rather, it begins when individuals, including clergy, consecrated religious, and the laity encounter Jesus Christ based on the patterns that we see in our Blessed Mother and her fiat, St. Peter's confession at Caesarea Philippi, and St. Paul's conversion on the road to Damascus.
Well, in this series, we also started by providing a backdrop, and we noted a survey that has just been released showing that the Catholic Church in Italy is now in a deep decline, similar to what we've seen happening in our own American church. So, Peter, why was it important for us to paint this backdrop?
Yes, Leslie, this was an exclamation point for me and the evidence of the church in the West needing to become missional. The cover of a latest edition of a Catholic magazine called The Helm featured a frayed rosary against the backdrop of an Italian flag. The headline was, Italians of Little Faith. The magazine declared that Italy, the seat of the Vatican and cradle of Catholicism, is now post-Christian. That's a pretty amazing statement. The poll estimated that only 13.8% of Italy's 59 million population attended Sunday Mass, and two-thirds of the Mass goers said they did not go to confession at least once a year. When they were questioned about their understanding of the Eucharist, 50% said it was a symbol of the body of Christ, while 32% identified it as the real body of Christ. Of course, Rome, we know, is the center of our Catholic faith because here is where St. Peter was crucified upside down and St. Paul was beheaded.
Right, Peter, and I think that's why you and I found this survey so disturbing, and actually, we consider it a wake-up call from the Lord.
Yes.
And then in our series, we went on to share what we believe is a prophetic pronouncement that was given by Father Joseph Ratzinger in a 1969 radio broadcast on German radio, and he foresaw that this decline would also happen all across the world.
Yes. Father Ratzinger at that point described the church of tomorrow. That was an interesting phrase he used, saying it will go through a deep pruning and lose much, but in the end, find her true identity. So there's a lot of hope there, too. He said, from today's crisis, this was in 1969, Leslie, the church of tomorrow will emerge, a church that has not lost or has lost much, I should say, she will become small and have to start afresh, more or less from the beginning. She will no longer be able to inhabit many of the edifices she built in her prosperity.
Father Ratzinger went on to say, in contrast to an earlier age, the church will be seen much more as a voluntary society, entered only by free decision. This implies that cultural Catholicism will no longer sustain us as individual believers. In other words, God has no grandchildren.
Right.
Everyone has to make a decision. Each one in the church will be there because they've said yes to Jesus as Mary did, and therefore yes to his church.
And then the future pope shares what I call the grand finale of his message, Leslie, and that expresses the hope that the church will become a more spiritual church. He said it will be hard going for the church, which we have to see the ongoing church clergy scandal. We've seen that. And this will make the church poor and cause it to become the church of the meek. However, Benedict went on to say that a process of sifting will take place. And once that is passed, I love this, a great power will flow from a more spiritualized and simplified church. This so reminds me of the church at the beginning, the church we see in the Acts of the Apostles. Great power, more spiritual, and a simplified church, Leslie.
Right. We want to be that church.
Yes.
Well, Peter, following this, we also shared with our listeners how Cardinal Timothy Dolan, in a recent address to Catholic seminarians, affirms the prophetic vision of Pope Benedict XVI. And now, 54 years later, the Cardinal seems to say that the days prophesied by the former Pope are now here.
During a visit to Florida's St. Vincent de Paul Regional Seminary, Cardinal Dolan of New York encouraged South Florida Catholics to find a silver lining as they confront these things, Leslie: declining religious observance, shuttered churches, diocesan bankruptcy, and diminished cultural clout. Examining the legacy of what he called used-to-be Catholicism, which assumed a cultural acceptance of faith practice that he grew up with during the 50s and the 60s in his native Midwest, Cardinal Dolan wondered aloud how to overcome negative trends facing the Catholic Church. He said, "It's over and we know it, so what now?" But here it is, he went on to say, we are today in what sociologists call a paradigm shift, meaning we have a significant transition in attitude, approach, and strategy about the church. Cardinal Dolan said probably the most accurate description of that shift is from maintenance to mission.
Cardinal Dolan sums up and confirms the intent of this series, Peter, that we must move from maintenance to mission. And we have been emphasizing that the Lord's heart is to rebuild a missional church. So the question remains, how can we tackle this? How do we move from maintenance to mission? So, Peter, why don't you summarize the map that you've created for us?
So, Leslie, I see this as a spiritual map. It begins in Caesarea Philippi, where St. Peter made his confession and became a prototype for all of us. Jesus immediately then promised that he would build the church and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. We saw in our confession, like St. Peter's, must lead to a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus that's cultivated by spending one-on-one time with our Lord, just as Jesus, our model, regularly alone, spent time with his Father. Finally, in this map that we've been discussing, we determined last week that we must make a bold confession along with our living personal relationship with the Lord and develop our story that becomes the foundation for our testimony and witness so that we can go on mission.
Okay, that's great. Great recap, Peter. And we're going to take a short break now. And when we return, we're going to look at how St. Paul described how to prepare to be a disciple on mission. So please stay with us.
You're listening to Go Rebuild My Church. This program is underwritten in part by Willie and Deborah Wood in memory of their parents, Woody and Joyce Wood, and Bill and Elsie Brooks. Catholic Radio Indy thanks the Wood family for their support.
Have you ever thought about joining the Catholic Church? Have you just wanted to explore the Catholic faith? All you need to do is call your local Catholic Church for more information. We are always happy to help you in your journey to discover and learn more about the Catholic faith. We have classes that are almost year-round, and the classes and information sessions do not involve making a commitment, and there is no pressure to join. Please call your local Catholic parish for more information today and start the journey of one day possibly becoming Catholic as well. God bless.
Welcome back to our radio program, Go Rebuild My Church, and today we're continuing a series of broadcasts entitled Rebuilding a Missional Church. And in our last segment, we discussed what we're calling a map that charts the journey to rebuild individuals and prepare them to go on mission.
We ended last week by sharing about the need to develop our own personal story of encounter, conversion, and reconversion. This is power released when we share our conversion story. In the scriptures, we read in 1 Peter 3:15, one of our favorite verses about this, Leslie, always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who calls you to give an account of the hope that is within you. I really like St. Peter's emphasis on being prepared.
So once we are prepared, we need to know when to share our story. So this week, Peter and I want to help all of us learn how to recognize when the Holy Spirit is signaling us to share our personal conversion and faith story. One of the key signals is the open door. So talk to us about the open door.
Yes, so this metaphor of how the Lord Jesus gives us opportunities to share with others what Jesus has done for us is constant, Leslie, through the sacred scripture.
And we've talked about this before on our program. Mm-hmm.
The concept of doors is found some 400 times in the sacred scripture. The Lord refers to himself as the one who controls the door also. In the book of Revelation, he said to the angel at the church of Philadelphia, write, he who is holy, he who is true, who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, and who shuts and no one opens, says this.
Well, St. Paul also writes about the open door in the book of Colossians. Why don't we look at those scriptures?
So, yes, let's listen to the words of St. Paul written in the book of Colossians. And these are powerful scriptures that really sets forth what it means to be missional. Devote yourself, this is in Colossians 4, 2 through 6. Devote yourselves to prayer. Keep an alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open to us a door, there it is, Leslie, for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I also was imprisoned. At this time, Paul was writing from his first imprisonment in Rome, that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. In verse 5, he says, conduct yourselves with wisdom towards the outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. And finally, in verse 6, let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person.
So here St. Paul is asking the Colossian church to specifically pray for him and his team for open doors to share the gospel. I love that.
Right.
I believe when sharing the gospel, St. Paul was certainly sharing his story of how Jesus had radically changed his own life. And there's so many nuggets in these verses concerning evangelization. Peter, could you continue to open up for our listeners what we can learn about the missional approach that St. Paul is providing us in these scriptures?
Yes, listen, I really believe that this is one of your prototype scriptures that really sets a framework, not just for Paul and his team, but for all of us. So let's dive into these scriptures a little bit and see what we find. First of all, everything concerning God opening up doors for us to share starts with what Paul said, be devoted to prayer. And let me comment on the Greek language there, Leslie. There's different tenses in the Greek, and this is in the present tense, and it implies a continual devotion to prayer. In other words, Paul's saying to the believers, everything starts with us continually devoting to ourselves to prayer 24/7 every day, 7 days a week. That's the bar that Paul sets for us.
That's a pretty high bar. And when I read this today, I thought to myself, boy, I'm really missing the mark here.
We've got a ways to go.
I don't pray every day that God will open doors.
Right. So he goes on to say, keep alert in it. That is, when we pray, isn't that interesting? He's saying that when we're praying like this, when we're devoted to prayer, to keep alert in it. In other words, look for God to do things when we pray. Keep our eyes open and our ears open for Holy Spirit connections, because God's going to move. I love that. Then he goes on and he specifically asks for prayer for those listeners in Colossae, in the book of Colossians, that they would do this for his team. He said, Paul said, pray that I get open doors. Now, this is very interesting because St. Paul is implying here, Leslie, he was not breaking doors down. He just wasn't forcing himself into conversations. He was waiting for the Lord to open up doors for him. And I love that. Then he goes on in the next verse and says, make the most of every opportunity. Now, again, referring to the Greek, and that really helps us understand this prototype scripture. The word opportunity is the Greek word for kairos that normally is translated God's time, in contradistinction to the Greek word chronos, which is how man keeps time. So Paul is saying that when we go through this exercise of preparing ourselves for open doors, God is going to take us out of chronos, so to speak, and take us into his time, his place where he's working, where he's bringing to us people who are prepared to hear what we have to say. And that's powerful. That's what God's opportunities are. They're kairos.
Right. We enter into his plan, his eternal plan for someone's life.
It's really great. Then he said, we need to learn how we should respond. Now, this is so key because this has to do with becoming missional, Leslie. He's telling his people that are listening to each person. This was the missional approach to the church. Every believer was focused, not on guest speakers and events and programs, as we mentioned. Rather, the believers were equipped with this model that Paul laid out in Colossians. The Pauline model for mission, I'm calling it. Every believer was expected to go through this process and therefore to be on the lookout.
Well, one of the biggest barriers we need to overcome in our thinking is that the clergy or the guest speakers, or they're the ones that are called to be on mission. And there's an amazing quote in the Catechism that calls the laity to be on mission, to be witnesses. Let's reference that right now.
Yes, the Catechism gives us a wonderful picture that basically refers to implicitly what I just read from St. Paul in Colossians. It starts out in paragraph 904 in the Catechism. It says this: Christ fulfills his prophetic office not only by the hierarchy, but also by the laity.
And the hierarchy is the clergy.
Right. He accordingly both establishes them, that is the laity, as witnesses and provides them with the sense of the faith, that is, sensus fidei, and the grace of the word. It goes on to say, to teach in order to lead others to faith is the task of every preacher, and listen to this, Leslie, and every believer.
That's us.
Yes. It goes on in paragraph 905 following, lay people also fulfill their prophetic mission by evangelization. That is the proclamation of Christ by word and the testimony of life. For lay people, this evangelization acquires specific property and peculiar efficacy because it is accomplished in the ordinary circumstances of the world, just what Paul was praying for. And then finally, it says, this witness of life, and I love this, however, is not the sole element in the apostolate. The true apostle, that's us, Leslie, and our listeners, the true apostle is on the lookout for occasions of announcing Christ by word, either to unbelievers or to the faithful.
Well, it's time for another break, so please stay with us. And when we return, we will continue with our series, and we will be sharing how we as missionary disciples can be on the lookout for occasions to announce the Lord and tell our story.
You're listening to Go Rebuild My Church. This program is underwritten in part by Willie and Deborah Wood in memory of their parents, Woody and Joyce Wood, and Bill and Elsie Brooks. Catholic Radio Indy thanks the Wood family for their support.
An interview with Father Trenton Rauch and his story on how Catholic radio influenced his vocation.
I was not struck by lightning and knocked off my horse. I had a lot of time driving in the car listening to the radio, and I just gotten to a point where I would prefer to listen to something that would be intellectually stimulating, and at the same time I was learning about the faith, particularly the apologetics.
Catholic Radio, building faith, building vocations.
You're listening to the radio program Go Rebuild My Church, and we're currently in a series of broadcasts called Rebuilding a Missional Church. We are learning that the heart of God is to rebuild that which has fallen into ruin in our church and help us to move from maintenance to mission. Our first Pope, St. Peter, led the way and laid the foundation, confessing that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. He shows us the path to Jesus, which is verbal confession, and that verbal confession then leads us to cultivate a personal relationship with the Lord. And through this process, the Lord's creating within us a story that we can now share with others. And when we do tell our story, when Jesus leads us into an open door, please, Peter, help our listeners learn how to recognize that open door.
Yes. So the first door, Leslie, that we want to share with our listening audience is the term that I call a divine appointment. This occurs when someone specifically asks you or me a question that can only be answered by referring to our faith in the Lord. A divine appointment happens when God arranges a circumstance, a question, a comment, or an event that begs us to tell of the hope that lies within us that we mentioned in 1 Peter chapter 3. It's a question, Leslie, like, you and your wife seem happy when you're together, so happy. Why is that? So divine appointments are a key part of evangelization. They presuppose the fact that God is working in that person's life, tilling the ground in their hearts, and the time to plant the seed is now. An obvious example in the scripture, of course, is the classic divine appointment in Philip's encounter with the eunuch in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8. That Ethiopian eunuch was sitting up in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah in chapter 53 about the suffering of the Lord. And he is confronted with Philip in the situation. Philip talks to him and he said, how can anybody understand these scriptures unless somebody tells them? And he invites Philip up into the chariot. Well, the rest is history, Lestri. The Ethiopian eunuch went out and was baptized, and church history alludes to the fact that this Ethiopian eunuch took the gospel back to Ethiopia and started the church there.
Well, we had an occasion, a divine appointment, very recently, and it was just in a very ordinary circumstance, like it says in the catechism, and we were out to dinner. So, Peter, talk to us about what happened with this waitress.
Yeah, so we were in this nice pizza restaurant, and we were sitting outside because we had our little puppy lab with us, and we were sitting outside, and our waitress, a 20-something young lady, came and started to take our order, and she was wearing a T-shirt that said, I love classical music.
And actually, it was classic rock. Honey.
Classical rock, yes, that's correct. And I said to her, we really love rock also.
And then we started talking to her about the music that we had in common and
yes.
How our kids stole all of our music. Our kids love classic rock.
Yes. And then I said to her, I said, speaking of classic rock, have you ever met anybody that went to Woodstock? And she said, no, I really haven't. I said, well, you have now for the first time because I was at Woodstock in 1969. And she said, oh, wow, that's amazing. So she was really amazed. And I said, you know something? I wrote an article about that and I put it in our church bulletin and I'd like to send you the article. And I didn't tell her what the title of the article was, but the title of it was Moving from Woodstock Nation to the Holy Nation. And I sent that text to her and the article, and hopefully God sowed a seed through that situation.
Okay, well, let's talk about the second door.
The second door of opportunity that God gives to us as believers is what I call sharing our story when somebody has a human predicament. The open door happens when someone in your sphere or network, a neighbor, friend, family member, or even a coworker, has a serious difficulty, a marriage problem, addictions, sickness, accidents, or heartaches. This, of course, speaks of the human condition, Leslie, we know that we all face.
It's all around us.
Yeah, no one's immune from any of these things, but the focus here is twofold. First, this person or persons is in our relational network, and then secondly, We know that the Holy Spirit is prompting us to share our faith.
And many times the person that's in this human predicament is brought to our own attention because we've been through the same situation or circumstances. So don't be surprised, because you can both comfort them and share your story on how God comforted you and helped you during that dark time.
Leslie, I know that the Lord has used us at time with these human predicaments. Please share, I know that time that you had where you recently were able to share with someone who was in a human predicament.
Well, I had a friend at work who had an ectopic pregnancy. So obviously those are very life-threatening and very cause a great health issue. And I realized I've been through that. I had an ectopic pregnancy. So I reached out to this woman and I shared with her about how the Lord really kept me during that time and comforted me, and how worried I was that I would have difficulty having children after that. But God met me in that place and had blessed me with three additional healthy children. And so it was a great time to really share about the Lord with her and hopefully shine light into her darkness.
Yes, yes, and that's been a blessing. I know you've had an opportunity to share many times over the years of how God's really met you and given you grace in the midst of struggles with your pregnancies in the past.
So the third door that we want to describe today is what we call the power of one. And this is based on the parable of the lost sheep in Luke 15, 1 through 7. We all know that beautiful picture of Jesus when he gave the parable where he talked about the good shepherd who goes after that one sheep that's lost. He leaves all the 99 just to go after the one who's lost and brings them back and carries them back into the fold.
And Leslie, there's so many exciting things that I want to share about that, and we're going to put that forward to our next broadcast so that we can really take the time and dive in to how our listeners can just cultivate those friendship relationships that God has given them.
Right. That's a category in itself.
Yes.
So our prayer today is that each one of us will have eyes to see the open doors that God leads us to. So Peter, could you pray for us now?
Yes, Leslie. Heavenly Father, in Jesus Christ's name, we ask that you would help us to be like St. Paul. Help us to be devoted regularly to prayer so that our eyes can be open and that we can begin to see the open doors that you would lead us to. We thank you how you've worked in our lives. Use us, Lord, to take those stories to bring the seeds of the gospel to others. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Well, thank you, listeners, for joining us today as we seek to connect you as individuals, your families, and parishes to the rebuilding and renewal of the Catholic faith here in America. Make sure to become a regular listener of Catholic Radio Indy. Goodbye for now, and
keep the faith.
You've been listening to Go Rebuild My Church with Peter Doan. Podcasts of this program are available at www.catholicradioindy.org.
You can hear the Holy Mass every day at 8 a.m. right here on Catholic Radio Indy.